website www.safa.ca. The SAFA invites you all to be part of this amazing weekend for cultural harmony.
Come on, get a life. Spend 6 or 9 months getting involved in communities across Canada.
If you are between 17 and 21, not sure about your next step for college or university, want to meet people from all over Canada, and want to put something impressive on your resume, then listen to Those That Got a Life.
Check out gokatimovic.com. That's go, K-A-T-I-M-A-V-I-K.com. Come on, get a life.
Warning, you are about to experience a hot mess.
Yes, you are.
The city's on fire.
Is it on fire, Jay Brown? Is it?
33 degrees the other day. People are at the beach. There's so much skin showing. Sexy.
It is sexy.
Vancouver, thy name beeth sex. Appeal.
You can actually hear the rustling right now of the fan that we have going. We're going to have to shut that off.
In the background?
Yeah. I thought
that was the rustling of the leaves, to be quite honest with you.
I thought that was the sound of my beautiful hair.
Yes. Blondron's got a fancy Farrah Fawcett dude kicking it right now.
Why wouldn't I?
Why not?
You do. It's Thanks. Fresh, and you're wearing a shirt that says, I'm a knight person.
But it has a picture of a knight on it.
In shining armor.
It's great. I love going thrift store shopping. It's fun. I went with my mom this last weekend.
In medieval stores.
I think you should post that photo of you being attacked by an eagle on our blog.
Yes. My mother, I went home to visit my dear mother this last weekend, and she has collected animals. She like has like stuffed like animals, not like cute stuffed animals, like real eagles.
Oh, like
and cougars.
Taxidermy style.
Yeah.
Ooh,
last time I checked, eagles were endangered.
Last time you checked 3 years ago because they came off the list last year.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I checked 3 years ago.
Yeah.
About the last time I picked up that book.
No, like she has like weird animals everywhere. She has like a raccoon.
I thought you said your mother was an animal lover. It seems really weird that she would get them stuffed and hang them in her
house.
No,
she doesn't like kill them. She like has
Obviously,
collected and
still.
Found them. She like has like weird antlers and bones and things that she always finds in the woods and then like brings them home.
If I woke up in the middle of the night and had to go to the bathroom in the dark in your house, I think I might crap my pants there.
You know, you're very, very, very possible.
I've found some pretty weird, bizarre objects in the woods.
Oh, have you?
But I've never felt so
inclined to bring them home with you.
To bring them home with me and give them residence.
Yeah, right. You totally have a closet up the stairs there.
Yeah, you do.
I found it in the woods closet.
You half-eaten muskrat carcass covered in some kind of bug.
Oh,
maggots.
Man.
You belong underneath my bed.
My aunt and my mom, they both like collect like antlers and teeth that they find and things. It's weird.
That's kind of cool, though. Everyone needs a hobby.
Yeah, stamps, animals.
Coins, teeth.
Teeth.
Jay.
My mom
the skeleton of the elephant man.
Yes.
Watch your teeth when Sam's around, just a warning.
I don't collect
Yeah, but
teeth.
You might be your aunt's scavenger person, so...
Oh, stop it.
You would collect mine because I've got a full-on 14-karat gold grill.
Yes, you
wow.
do.
Wow. Apparently, people are selling their gold at parties now. Like, you know, you have a Tupperware party? Well, having gold parties where, like, you trade your gold for money because, like, the recession and whatnot.
Really?
You know...
That's bizarre. I don't know anybody that would do that.
Like, all the people in the States who have...
You don't know anybody who owns a lot of real gold.
This is true, but I don't know anybody who would like be like, here's my gold ring, come have a party at my house.
No, but everybody brings their gold, and then like a person comes, and they like sell all, like, because you know when like you had money, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go buy some grills with some diamonds in it, and then like you're like, oh, crap.
I want to go to Little John's gold Tupperware party.
I have
party.
To give up my house, so now it's like,
yeah.
Yeah! Okay!
Oh!
I think yeah. that'd be fun. No?
Yeah,
I saw a
no.
cat with a grill.
No, you did
okay,
not.
Okay, here's the thing. It was this cat that had
was
a severe...
Was it in your mom's house?
No,
stuffed
listen.
In the cupboard?
Listen, this... Ariel told me about this and I looked up online. This cat had had a really bad severe underbite and its owner was a dentist and it gave the cat a grill.
Wow.
I know.
Okay,
I really don't know what to say
it's
about
that. It's awesome.
It's kind of like it just ends at the store.
Other than crazy.
Crazy.
Kind of like our show today.
Yeah, we have sound crates here. I'm pretty excited about that.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo, how's it going?
I don't want to be an ageist here, but it's not being an ageist if you're giving them a compliment, right? These guys are young. How old are you guys? Shout it out loud.
Just turned 17.
17 years old, and already they're doing more musically with their lives than most people twice their ages. Is that a fair assessment?
Basically, yes.
If you're not familiar with anything they've ever done, they remixed Chaos. Canadian rapper Chaos put out a new album called Yes. He and Network Records decided that they would put a contest out and have a bunch of people across Canada remix a bunch of the songs. He handpicked, I think, what, 10?
Yeah, I listened to a lot of them with Kevin and Roger who are picking them out. And there was some really good ones, so...
and
know that you guys were the best.
The Sound Crate's remix of 4321, the hit single. You love it. You know it. You hear it everywhere. This is their remix version actually ended up on the remix disc. So we're going to talk to them a little bit later on the show. You're going to hear some of their goods, what they have to offer. And we're going to learn what it's like to be a 17-year-old musical genius thriving in 2009 and taking shit up a notch.
Yeah, you are.
Sure.
So before we do that, we've got lots of exciting people that we're talking to today. We're also talking to quite amazing... Canadian director. I just went and checked out the film the day before yesterday, Victoria Day. So we'll be talking to him in the show as well. But let's listen to a tune. Do you guys want to listen to a tune?
Yes, please.
Ed, get off of your phone. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
What can you do?
Right. Shocking, really.
So much to do, so little time on Hot Mess. Right.
Songs.
Remix of Pronouns there. Love that track.
Yeah.
Love dubstep. Can't get enough.
All right, Blantron, you went to go see a movie this week. Canadian film. It's called Victoria Day.
Yes, I did.
And it was pretty good, I take it.
It was great. It was nice to see a movie in the morning. I haven't done that, I don't think, ever.
Yeah, it's kind of weird timing. But the thing that's kind of cool about it is we have
the writer and the director from Victoria Day on the line right now. David.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Great.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for calling in a hot mess.
Happy to do it. Hot mess.
David, listen, I've heard your last name pronounced about seven different ways, so we thought we'd go to the source.
Besmoskis.
Besmoskis.
David Besmoskis, writer and director of Victoria Day. You are calling us from whereabouts?
Toronto.
And what's the temperature like out there?
I don't know, 22, 23 degrees.
Are you jealous that it was 30 here when we were all at the beach the other day?
I don't know, I kind of like 22, 23. 30 is a bit too hot.
Yeah, it does. It gets to be a bit much. David, I went and watched a movie the other day, and I really enjoyed it. It was interesting for me seeing a Canadian filmmaker like yourself that's normally a storyteller. I've read sort of a couple of your pieces from Natasha and other stories, and you're so great at building up that feeling of being there. And how did you find bringing that to the screen, like giving those moments where you normally have all those words to explain what's going on and just having that tension on the screen?
Well, I guess when you have good actors and you're all kind of on the same page trying to make the same sort of film, it works. You know what I actually tried to do in the film use as few words as possible. I mean, that's the difference between film and literature.
Yeah.
I mean, you try to do as much visually as you can and convey the same sort of feelings that you can with good literature, just instead on the screen.
Now, let's talk about the premise of the movie for a minute here. It's Victoria Day weekend. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. Those two things, hand in hand, holding each other's hand. Right off the bat, this is very Canadian.
That part's Canadian, sure, yeah.
So you're expressing, I mean, you're a Canadian filmmaker making a Canadian movie in Canada. I mean, how important is this to sort of express these stories and tell the Canadian condition and tell the Canadian story and then have this thing be viewed elsewhere in the world?
Well, you know, I think it's very important. Though the way I'd phrase it is, I'm telling a story about growing up. I grew up in Toronto. I think stories of coming of age are, you know, essentially the same.
Universal.
But when we talk about, you know, being specific, why hide the fact that, you know, we have Victoria Day and we shoot fireworks at each other?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite scenes is when they're in the park shooting fireworks.
Nothing caught on fire, did it?
Well, a kid's knapsack did, but very briefly, and we kept going.
Nice. What I noticed about the film, like, it's interesting that you say that you tried to use as little words as possible, because it brought me back to being a teenager. You really brought that back to life, and I find that's really hard in a lot of movies, is that you watch these movies, and then you feel like, oh, yes, that's how high school was, and you have this, you sort of romanticize what it was like, when in actuality, it's very rare to see a film like this where that is how it was like, and people don't talk, they just make out, and like there's that, you know, and people think that they're so right, and I think you conveyed that so well. But how do you connect with your past in that way? Because I think even for me, I mean, I was only in high school about 8 years ago, but I still today will romanticize things and totally forget about those hard times and thinking I was so right, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of life is built up of awkward moments, but that's not necessarily bad. I mean, I look back on my high school years, and some of it was terrific. Some of it was, you know, the most exciting experiences, the most deeply felt experiences I had, and a lot of it was really awkward.
Yeah.
We've all been teenagers, though. Do you think that, what is it that makes people forget what it's like to be a teenager?
I don't know. Do people really forget?
I'm asking you. Do you think they do? Does that happen? Do we sort of forget what? Because there's always seems to be a generation gap, something that sort of disconnects the parents from the youth.
Well, it's funny. I mean, we showed this film at Sundance, which is where it premiered. And so we showed it, first of all, mostly to an American audience, but also an audience of all ages. And I don't know. People came back and said, you know, when they spoke to me, that the film really reflected their experience of growing up.
Yeah.
So is it a question of us forgetting what that was like? I don't know. It's hard to say, but when we see it, it seems like we recognize it.
And that's what it really did for me. It brought back a lot of memories that I would never even think about, and that's what I loved about it. And it was received well at Sundance from everything that I read. Did you enjoy that? Did it sort of spark the filmmaker in you as opposed to writing?
It's a thrill to watch your film get launched anywhere, and particularly a thrill when it's a festival like that, and there's so much attention and excitement just surrounding the fact that you're there. As far as sparking the filmmaker, I mean, I'd like to tell stories, whether it's on the page or on the screen, depending on what the opportunity presents. I mean, I'd love to continue to do both.
That's amazing. I was wondering, is the character based on you growing up, or is it sort of loosely based on you, or did you play hockey and did that happen? The events in the movie?
Well, I mean, the event that kind of spurs the story is the disappearance of this kid at a rock concert. That did happen in Toronto in 1988, and I knew the kid just very, very vaguely. But I wanted to make a film about, kind of what we've been talking about, which is what does it feel like? What did it feel like to be a teenager? What was that like?
Yeah.
And so I just tried to create a situation where you need some kind of conflict, and I just looked back on what was happening when I was a teenager and create a situation where you can tell a story about teenage life and some of the hardships you go through.
Well, David, thank you very much. This has been where can people see Victoria Day here in Vancouver?
So Vancouver, it's going to play at the Tinseltown, and it starts June the 19th. Is when it opens. So I believe it starts on one screen at the Tinseltown, and if people come, I think it'll spread, and I hope it will.
So is there a website where people can go find out more information?
Absolutely. So you can go to, www.victoriadaymovie.ca, and we also have a Facebook fan page, which you can go and check out, which is, if you're on Facebook, just type in Victoria Day, and it'll take you there.
Great. Well, it's going to be playing select theaters across Canada starting on the 19th. So everybody go Victoria Day Movie. Check that out. Google it. Thank you so much, David. And enjoy your 22-degree weather in Toronto.
I will. Thanks
all. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Victoria Day is actually my favorite holiday.
Is it?
Get out, really? Why?
Because I actually like shooting explosives at things.
It's kind of fun.
I like things. Here's the thing about me. You might not have known this about me, but I really like things that explode. And I'm not a big fan. I'm not such a big fan of things that don't explode. And I don't think that you knew that about me. So I'm trying to open myself up to you right now.
I feel closer to you now. Yeah.
I hope you're kind of being a little bit smug there.
Smug.
But I'm hoping it's true.
No, I feel close to you.
Man.
But guess what, guys? We got an amazing interview as well coming up. We just talked to David Besmos. I can't do it.
Yes, Besmos-gis. You did a good job. Yes.
Yes. But James Kyson Lee from Heroes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
The television show Heroes?
The television show Heroes.
Neither of you watch this. So again, I get to do the interview. Yes.
No.
You know what's
it's
weird?
It's already done. Sorry.
You know what's weird?
Damn.
We've got an interview with a guy from Heroes. And what am I eating right now?
A hero
sub.
Is that serendipity?
I think a little bit.
It is. I like it. It looks good.
Should we listen to music first?
I think we should.
I think I'm going to play a Fake Blood track because guess what?
What?
Fake Blood's coming back.
Get out.
Yeah, he's going to be in Vancouver in a couple weeks.
How about he comes on the show?
Can
you make that happen?
I've already started buttering him up.
Can you lock it in?
I heard that he's a hemophiliac.
Really?
Because he uses his fake blood.
I don't.
No, and like.
I
was might really,
is this real?
Like, really, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you, like, cut him, he would bleed to death?
Okay. Jay's just going to eat his Hero Sub, and we're going to listen to a Wicked Kills remix by Fake Blood.
Hotmess.org.
Oh.
Again, that was Fake Blood, and it was a Kills remix.
Yeah, no, it's the Kills, and it's a Fake Blood remix.
I hear that Fake Blood hands out free Band-Aids at every show.
You're a dork.
These are things I hear. I'm just
rumors.
Don't shoot the messenger, Samantha.
Rumors.
Holy heck!
Oh, goodness.
So our boy Matty Anderson, who
hangs
lives down in Los Angeles,
Hollywood.
And he did an interview with one of the stars of the TV show Heroes.
Yeah.
And I'm not, here's the shows I watch. King of Queens and South Park and I'm not joking, and Family Guy and Seinfeld reruns. That's it.
Wow.
Oh, and Dexter. Boom, that's it.
All right.
So I haven't watched Heroes, but I've heard, and again, don't shoot the messenger. From my understanding, and this is a pretty popular show, Ed,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
Sam, would you agree?
Yeah.
It's actually about a race of super Mounties, right?
Well, I heard that they were like, the super Mounties were invaded the States or something. Like, they're somewhere located in the U.S. and...
Yeah.
And then
they're Mounties riding yaks.
Okay.
I don't know about the yaks, but...
You haven't watched the show. Have you watched the show?
Super Mounties.
Super Mounties.
They're called heroes, and that's why the Americans.
No, they're all superhumans. They're like X-Men.
Oh.
But they're heroes.
But what?
What are they?
But there's some of the people that are bad.
Who's the blonde one who like is evil? That's I saw a part.
She's good and bad.
How does that work?
Well, you can
Aren't
be both.
They all?
All right. We don't know what we're talking about. Samantha clearly does. Why don't we listen to the interview? Interview.
Let's
that Handsome in Hollywood did with James Kyson Lee from Heroes.
I'm so jealous. Here it is.
Awesome segment of Handsome in Hollywood. I'm here with a gentleman. He's always hooked up in every city he goes to, and I would probably give him an award for best dressed guy because I always want your clothes. So I'm here with James Kyson Lee, star of Heroes. James, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Good to see you, Matt.
Thanks for coming on the show. Last time I saw you, dude, you were jumping on a plane and flying to France to be in a poker tournament in Monaco. You're living the life. How was your trip?
It was called Antio for Africa, and my first time in Monaco and that side of Europe, and it was awesome. I mean, you can't go wrong, you know, spending a few days there, and got to see Nice, which is in South France, and it's a great time. And of course, playing poker with the best. I mean, that was a treat.
How'd you do?
Made it to semifinal table. So yeah, it was me and one of the Benji brothers from Good Charlotte, I think, were the last two remaining. Yeah.
And you play for charity, right? Like, do you have a bunch of different charities, or is this one?
This one was for the charity raising money for Darfur, and I think we raised close to almost $500,000.
And so have you started shooting season 4 yet? Has that started?
Next Tuesday. So we got the first script, been prepping on it, and it looks good. I think this season... they're going to focus on really kind of what made the show take off in the first season, which is just relationships and these characters and, you know, making them more grounded, just reminding people that these were just normal human beings before all these kind of, you know, crazy series of events happened, and kind of focusing back to what are the consequences of their lives now, you know, after experiencing all of this. So
it's a bit going back to the roots. Now, is the show kind of... you know, shrouded in secrecy? It's a pretty huge show. There's a lot of stuff going on. Is it one of these things where you got to sign your life away? Like, if you talk about what's happening, we're going to, you know, come and get you kind of thing?
It's funny. That's actually right on the first page. Like, say anything, we'll come and get you. That's basically what it says. I think the cool thing about the show is that it's very well connected online, you know? So some of the directors and the producers have blogs, some of the cast members, Twitter. And so, you know, slowly we'll kind of give them just little hints or little... you know, treats.
Are you into all that? Do you do Twitter and do you blog and stuff?
I am on Twitter, and I like it a lot. I still liked it back in the day when it was kind of like less known, and but I like it is because there's some intelligent creative dialogue you can have within a very short amount of space, you know. And you know, I don't like just generic status updates. Get out of Twitter. Show me something like really interesting. A great, I don't know, some random article you came across, or like a picture that like tells 1,000 words that you're just like, what?
Is there someone that you follow that's on point with all that kind of stuff? Or like, I don't know, you know, Obama's on Twitter now. Everybody's on Twitter.
Rain Wilson is one of the guys I follow, and he actually Twitters some pretty interesting stuff. He told me about a documentary called Anvil, a true documentary story about 80s rock band, a metal band that were right up there with some of the best, you know, the Anthrax and, you know, the Guns N' Roses and all these guys, but never made it. And 30 years later, they're putting out their 13th album, still holding on to their dreams. So I went to go see it with a friend of mine, and it was awesome, dude. No way. It was, I mean, I'm a documentary junkie, first of all, but this was like one of the best It's incredible how you can't make these stories up.
Dude, it sounds like things are going really great. When you were a little kid back in South Korea, did you ever think you were going to be on a huge TV show with superpowers, with like a comic book?
Well, you know, it's funny. When we were growing up, I mean, being an actor is like, it's not something no one talked about that. That's not even a reality, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny, like the two shows that I remember when I was really, really young in Korea, they had was like Different Strokes and V. And it was dubbed in Korean, so I thought when we were moving to New York that we'll land in New York and everyone spoke Korean. So I mean, it just kind of tells you, you know, how naive it can be just living in a different country. I think this show, even though everyone kind of had a feeling that this is kind of different, you know, it could be something special. Mm-hmm. But the way it's taking off, and the cool thing about this show is that it's become so global.
Yeah.
I think they're airing it now in 235 different territories.
Whoa.
Which is like unheard of, you know what I mean? It's also more than 24 in Prison Break and all the other shows that's done well internationally. So, you know, we'll travel and go to like these obscure random countries and, you know, and they'll recognize you or they'll know the show. And I think that's kind of cool, you know?
Well, obviously we're a radio show and we love to talk about music and you love to talk about music. So I wanted to get into that a little bit. I read that you were an MC at some point.
I used to be in a hip-hop group in Boston called School of Thought. And I started with two guys, and next thing you know, we had a DJ, we had a couple of girls singing R&B vocals, and we'll all jump into a minivan, and we'll go to different colleges and do shows. And those are the fun days, you know? It's funny. I mean, like, and one of the guys went back to Japan and completely blew up. You know, his group is called M-Flow, and they're considered kind of like the Black Eyed Peas of Japan.
What?
And I feel like music has always been, like, a big part of my life, you know? And actually, when I first came to L.A., while I was taking acting classes for the first time, I took a jazz singing class and discovered this whole world of standard and the whole history of it, and then took a musical theater class, and I knew nothing about Broadway. And so it's funny because I'll go to these random piano bars in LA and they'll have the open mic nights where, like, you bring a music sheet and they have like piano and then players and accompanists and you just kind of take turns and singing songs, and here I walk in and no one in there looks like me and they're like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And I sing some like tune from the 50s and they just come and completely embrace me. So it was fine. You know, I've had some wild random experiences in LA.
What are some tracks that you'd like to maybe request to play on the show tonight?
That's right. So I spent a week in Vancouver, which I completely fell in love with, your hometown. Mm-hmm. And I saw a band called Winter Sleep at the Commodore from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. Great, great live band. Went to a really local cabaret divey place called the Biltmore Cabaret and saw a girl named Myra Zaitlin. And the music was so personal and great. And found a girl named Jill Barber who came into town for a couple days and performed, put a show on this old movie house. They converted it into a stage. You know, everybody has a soundtrack, and I feel like mine's always changing, you know, always discovering new artists. And you know, I'm really into that.
Awesome. Well, dude, before we go, just a couple other things. You got a bunch of other stuff going on.
I have a movie called premiering on the Sci-Fi Channel on June 13th, 9 p.m. It's a Saturday, and it's called Star Runners. And I play one of two space bandits who are sort of transporting a crate from different planets, and then we get hunted down by bad guys, and there's creatures. So, you know, if you love all the classic movies, you know, from everything from Star Wars to Fifth Element to, you know, Total Recall, it's just a movie that sci-fi fans can really enjoy.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always great to hang out with you, and best of luck, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again in a bit.
Oh, you're welcome, man. Nice to see you, Matt.
Cheers.
things out of my head. You can't kill the thing that's already dead, to leave my soul alone. I don't need no surgery. Take those knives away from me. Just wanna die in my own body. A ghost just needs a home.
Request of
James Kyson Lee.
James Kyson Lee.
That was a really good interview with Maddie, and now I want to watch that show Heroes about superheroes battling villains in a post-apocalyptic war zone.
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
Such a good show.
I'm saying to you that I want to check it out based on that interview. Kudos to Matt.
Go, Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
Really cool.
Hanging
seems
in
like
Hollywood.
A super cool guy, and hey, you know,
he's
one of the biggest shows
singer.
On TV.
Come on now. He's like... a hero and a jazz singer.
He's a funny character.
You know what, Ed? What? I think it was David Bowie who said, "We can be heroes if just for one day." What do you think about that?
I think it's great that you have so much musical knowledge.
No, you and I could be heroes for one day if we did something like pulled
a lady out of a car that was in
hopefully
a river.
She was in trouble and you didn't just
I was going to say cat out of a tree, but yeah. Well, you just made it really real.
Yeah.
Ed brings the real shit here.
Usually we don't play slow jams like Wadey Ghost by Wintersleep, but sometimes. I like that song.
It's a good one.
It's purdy.
It is. It's a little down-tempo break from all the party at Hot Mess.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I need a breather.
Soundcrate should remix that song, and then we can play it next week.
There we go.
There's a pressure for Soundcrate. Yeah. They're coming up later on in the show. So
final exams? Screw them. It's all about just making this Wadey Ghost Wintersleep. We won't pay you, but we like you very much.
Do that for us right here and there.
We'll play all your tracks as long as you fail out of school.
Yeah.
Do not graduate. Do not pass go.
Your parents are never going to ever let you do a radio show with us again. Like, you have to stay home now.
Okay, so like, there's some weird, weird people out there who get published. I don't know. Seriously, I'm going to write a book, okay? Because like, this lady wrote a book, and it's not even a book.
What is it?
It's called 14,000 Things to Be Happy About. It costs...
I hate that book.
Listen, it costs $6.95, and it was written by a lady named Barbara Ann Kipfer, and all it is a list of 14,000 things you're to be happy about.
I know, but
let me give you a couple examples.
Okay,
From this list. Tolerable temperatures. What?
That's one of the 15,000
I'm thankful things. For... Yeah, okay. It continues. Hot dog buns?
What?
Yes, this woman got paid to publish this book. Hot dog buns. Oh, this is what... I don't even understand this. I don't even understand this, but this is in the list. How about a little drinky poo? What the hell is that?
I don't know. That sounds like Jay at around 10 a.m.
Manhole covers. Manhole covers. That's a necessity. That's not a... I'm thankful for those.
Have you ever had one of those removed and then driven over it? It's very scary.
Calling someone at home.
Yeah, calling them over for maybe a little drinky poo.
Why not?
Careful of the manhole covers on your way.
Apparently, Jay Brown is going to rush out and buy this book in about.
You know
five
what?
Minutes
I'm here. Imagining that it's on the same shelf as Chicken Soup for the NASCAR Soul.
Oh God!
Which is a real book too.
Shut up! Are
there's
you serious?
There's a Chicken Soup for everyone. There's a Chicken Soup for the NASCAR Soul.
What is so the like NASCAR if you're, soul if you're
well
a
basically
fan of
like
NASCAR?
if you're like chilling out and your guy isn't winning.
Then
like
you like
Mario Andretti Jr. came in last place, and you're feeling really bummed out about it. Go buy Chicken Soup for the NASCAR
Proverbs in a book for you. Oh my!
Oh man!
There's another problem going on in the world. This one's from the UK.
What's the problem?
There's a lot of injuries happening because adults are jumping on trampolines drunk.
Really?
Yes. It says right here. Okay, doctors in Dundee in the UK have dealt with over 50 trampoline injuries in just 6 weeks. Children are being injured on trampolines because too many people, including drunk adults, are crowding onto them and jumping. Doctors are sending out a warning. So don't drink and jump. Don't drink and bounce. It's dangerous.
Are you serious right now?
I'm totally serious. This
you know
is from
what?
bbc.co.uk or whatever.
I was once at a party where there were a lot of homeless people and skanky women jumping on a trampoline, and it was called Tramps and Tramps on Tramps. It was a really weird mix of people, and it didn't last very long.
This is the best.
I left after about like 10 minutes because I was just totally, I was like, I, you know what?
Too
I
many
don't.
Tramps.
Yeah. Somebody's going to get Hep C up in here.
Oh, big time. Big time.
If you like fell and your face fell on that, not good.
Not cool.
I think that Britain is a little bit like overdoes the health warning things because what? They put padded poles on the streets that are really busy where you come out of the tube because people were blackberrying and running into poles. And so they padded poles. Dude. It's like we're letting people be stupid.
They went so far as to give you the like breakdown of body parts that were injured. 54% of injuries were on the legs, 32% were in the arms, and 14% on the head, neck, face, and or chest.
What about the genitals?
Have you ever... Yeah, I can see a serious vagina stub happening on one of those things.
Ed, you just tuned out there. Ed didn't want to go into that
the genitals
the conversation.
Because so Ed's had that. Unfortunate mishaps with hot mess and genital stories.
Hot mess.
Oh, right. All you have to do is go to our website, hotmess.org, and scroll through past radio shows and listen to some of the tales, the tall tales by Edward Vince.
I spoke of. I got one more random story.
All right. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, it's involving Disneyland, the Magic Kingdom, our favorite place in the world.
Right.
Okay. This is kind of, someone posted this somewhere and behind the scenes, so to speak. And essentially what it's saying is that they've started to make the seats bigger at Disneyland. And one of the behind the scenes people posted a post on their wall and someone took a photo of it saying that the reason why they're making the seats bigger is because all their guest asses are getting fatter. But when you go and talk to the people at WDI, which is like the Imagineering crew, they say, depending on who you talk to, it's because the guests have gotten bigger. But really, the wish is to increase the number of people that can be loaded into any boat on any size to increase the guest capacity. But the ride operators are saying that what's happening is the seats are getting bigger, so all the boats are actually bottoming out and consistently getting stuck.
Are you serious?
So they're allowing larger people to come on, and it's causing a lot of problems.
Man, we're just
go
letting people.
Disney World.
We're just padding the world and making big seats for fat, stupid people everywhere.
Well, you know what?
It's true.
All empires fall the minute they become fat and complacent. We're living in end times here, people. End times!
Okay, oh, doom Jay. And gloom.
Yeah, what happened to tramps and trampolines?
You're the one who came with that sunny story.
I thought it was funny.
No, it would be funny if they like if something happened to Mickey Mouse, like they ate him or something.
Yeah,
like a
boat got beached and then they were forced to eat Mickey.
Yeah,
they got stuck
because they got so
Pirates
hungry.
Pirates of the Caribbean and they started chowing down.
Actually, that would be
funny.
the boat is beached. From
Have you
all
guys
the
been on that
seats.
Ride? Isn't that weird when you go past the restaurant part?
What Pirates of the
Caribbean? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
I don't remember. Sounds great though.
Oh.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
I don't like Disneyland. It gives me the creeps.
I'd only go to Disneyland if you could remove all the children and people that need large seats from it.
You realize every single time we say the word Disneyland, we're going to get sued?
Oops.
Because...
We should call it Fizney Hand.
That special magical place down in California.
Well, this conversation petered out.
Okay, well, I want
feel like I feel like Sam's combi van has been running on fumes for the past 30K, and we just actually ground to a halt somewhere between Saskatchewan and Brandon, Manitoba.
The first two were okay. The first two were quality.
It's all quality.
I feel like my joints are rusty right now.
What?
I'm going to shake it off.
Okay. All right. I want to listen to a song.
All right.
And that's what we're going to do.
Whee!
Track Kids in the Bar remix of Walking on a Dream. I like that track a lot. There's a lot of remixes of it, but that one's really, really good.
Yeah, that is an amazing track. By the way, Handsome Anderson just saw the movie The Hangover, and he sent me a little text here, and he says he gives it 7 hangover pukes out of 10.
That's pretty good.
Is it?
It's a...
I think that's a fair...
That's 70%.
It sounds good.
It's better that's than 45%.
That's 70% of your insides coming up.
Contraption.
So that's a fair amount.
I apologize for that.
That's all good. So,
I've heard of crates full of watermelons and crates full of chickens and crates full of milk. Never before had I heard of a crate full of sound until I met the Sound Crate.
How's it going?
Hello.
Hi.
Gentlemen.
How's it going?
How are you?
Great.
Great.
So let's... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Mike, please. I insist. To mic? No, get right in there. You guys both, they're sharing one mic.
Better?
Get
that,
so close that it almost, you almost might make... Kiss.
You don't want to make eye contact.
I wasn't going to say that.
There you were.
Yeah, just
we're just so close. No.
I was going to say almost electrocute yourself.
Oh, sweet. Because of this weird contraption.
And because
thing.
You're sitting in a puddle of water.
Yeah.
Where?
And your hands in a toaster.
Oh.
But you'll be fine. I'm sure it'll all work out.
Stop messing with them.
Guys. Oh, okay.
We're still in high school.
Yeah.
Well, that's
a great excuse for everything.
Yeah.
You guys are in high
don't
school.
Don't do this to me.
And your name is everywhere because you just had a remix on the new Chaos album.
Yes.
Let's talk.
Yes, sir.
How did that happen, and how? What has that experience done for you guys?
Basically, we heard from the beat that they were doing a contest.
Yeah, Manon heard it from the beat,
and then I was like, "Hey, Moise, we should do this," because I started blogging about like our music that we made about like two months ago before the contest started.
How about we say our names?
Well, go ahead.
Okay, that was Manon, and. I'm Moise.
Moise Babar. He's
sweet.
Yeah, but anyways,
like the elephant.
You digress, gentlemen.
Awesome. So you
sorry,
you found
we took a tangent. Yeah.
You found out about this remix and then this remix competition, and you downloaded the parts and just did it.
So no, it was like this. So I was at home one day and there's a lot of tracks to choose from. Like I think it was 11, and 4-3-2-1 was like the single. So one day I'm just sitting home. And start making something and really felt it. And it's like, holy crap.
That's awesome.
Holy crap. Call him up and like, come over right now. We need to finish this. And then he just comes over and I'm like, listen, press the play button. He just starts bobbing his head.
Just
like, I was like, that's what I was doing, man.
That's awesome.
And then a while ago, before the contest started, if you listen to the remix, we used the whole T-Pain effect thing on it.
Auto-tune.
A little auto-tune effect. And then, so we just put that on there.
Do you think auto-tune will die anytime soon?
Yes, it will. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Because Bollywood people have been using it for too long, and T-Pain stopped using it, and Kanye's on it, Gorilla Zoe's on it, Akon's on it.
I'm still loving it.
So then what happened? You guys complete this track, you're both loving it, you're in the zone with it.
Yeah, and then...
You send it in.
Yeah, and then Mui's over here, this little kid, he decides to go do another one.
We do another one.
And then he does Burning Bridges.
And
like,
then we were just bobbing our heads again. Same story.
And then that's basically it. And then we got the message before the contest closed.
Who contacted you? How did they contact you?
It was Indaba Music, and they were contacted by Haley Wilson, his manager, saying that they wanted 4-3-2-1. Like,
Chaos's manager.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we want it like now. And we're just like, cool.
Yeah, it was sweet. It was an awesome day, right, Manon?
Yeah, I did a backflip.
So how has that helped you out with the ladies at school?
Not at all.
Not at all?
Nope.
Really?
No.
They're like, why don't you remix something for Kanye? I'm like,
oh, I was like, man.
He kind of sounds like it, you know, with the
but nope.
High school girls. Smarten up, ladies.
Nothing's good enough.
Nothing's ever good enough.
No.
But okay, in another respect, how is that sort of... helped your confidence as musicians? I mean, what has that done for you guys mentally, and what do you think it's where do you think this is going to take you?
We feel like we're a part of it now, and
in the loop, really,
in the loop, exactly what he said. We just feel like we have
doing
something
more.
There, we want to do more, we don't want to stop. And
so, what's your goal from this? What do you want to do? You want to start going out and playing shows like at 16 or 17 years old? You know, it's kind of difficult for you guys to go out. A lot of shows are played in clubs. They're serving alcohol. So you guys are kind of in this sort of gray area right now.
Yeah.
So what are your immediate goals and what are your sort of future goals?
When it comes to playing shows, we do our own things. And also, like, I've played, like, shows at, like, schools and whatnot and just, like, jammed out to them. But, like, when it comes to, like, clubbing and stuff, we kind of have to, like, figure out what we're going to do because we're also underage and we're both Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, like, drink or, like, do drugs. And we try to stay away from that, like... aspect of life, but you know, you're allowed to have fun.
We're trying,
so you know,
that's an interesting balance to find, because I think that's probably something that, especially the kind of music you're playing and from just, you know, what we've been playing in the studio today, that you guys like, that is very much around a party culture. And I'm sure just from you being on blogs and things, and you said you blog yourself, that's just a part of the subculture thing. How does your family feel about you guys doing this?
I remember when we got the message from Chaos for the first time, I was like, Mom, we're gonna win this.
turn around. She's like, why aren't you studying for physics? You have physics provincial next. I'm like, oh, damn it. And then, like, now it's like we got a message from Ed, and he's like, yeah, we'll do a radio interview. And my mom's like, can I drive you? And just like that little, like, change, I guess.
So but, she sees now
but,
that.
But, like my parents are completely supportive. So,
yeah, same
well,
here.
So. I think it's safe to say that we were very impressed with you guys' skills.
Thanks, man.
And we're also, I mean, it's very impressive to see someone who has the talent you guys have. Yeah. And who also has, you know, this dedication to your faith and dedication to the music at the same time. So we look forward to seeing big things from you guys in the future. And you definitely have fans and supporters here at Hot Mess.
Awesome.
Definitely. So having said that, should we listen to the SoundCrate remix of 4321 and then listen to them bust out some other gems?
Let's do it.
Why not?
I have to play some ads here, pay the bills, and then we'll come back and you'll be listening to SoundCrate.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Come on, get a life. Spend 6 or 9 months getting involved in communities across Canada.
If you are between 17 and 21, not sure about your next step for college or university, want to meet people from all over Canada, and want to put something impressive on your resume, then listen to Those That Got a Life.
Check out gokatimovic.com. That's go, K-A-T-I-M-A-V-I-K.com. Come on, get a life.
Do you think it'll be before I can do the show?
You're starting tonight.
We'll do it live!
If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway is Vancouver's newest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres.
But a lot of these groups are nothing but pure carnality and fleshly and so forth. But
check out BiltmoreCabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
You're pretty happy with the way you look and the attitude you've got, are you?
The lights are growing dim. I know a life of crime led me to this sorry fate. And yet, I blame society. Society made me what I am.
That's bullshit. You're a white suburban punk, just like me.
Feeling angsty? Blaming society? Come let it out at the Biltmore Cabaret on Friday, June 5th. Timber Productions proudly presents Akimbo from Seattle on tour to support their latest release, Jersey Shores. Doors at 8 p.m., show at 9:30. Akimbo with special guest Yellowknife celebrating their CD release and Opera Strike. Friday, June 5th at the Biltmore Cabaret. Brought to you by the Timber Productions and CITR 101.9 FM.
Goodbye, don't
leave me high emotions. I feel so good when you're by my side. Check my Johnny Depp playing the role of a fly guy, whatever. I thought together we're tougher than leather and never call for the pleasure under pressure, but it seems all that glitters is gold. Maybe you sold your soul for the golden goose, but the truth is, long as I keep rhyming, eyes keep shining, soul stays divine. I remember 96, we used to dance. I had two pairs of pants, but you had that glance, yo. We used to hang out in the park and just chill. Now we swing swords in the dark and act ill. Doesn't really matter, I've got to go. Beats the maestros that rock for show. We did it.
4, 3, 2, 1, what we fighting for? 3, 2, 1, I don't know what. 4, 3, 2, 1, what we fighting for? 3, 2, 1, I don't know what for.
Guess who's back that never left it all, with the brand new pencil and a crystal ball. Let it fall, summertime, break down the wall. You can't give what you haven't received at all. It's the truth, foolproof, but fools need proof. So I slide to the side and I act uncool, but it's just an act, cause I might react to those who never held a mic that's fed back. Listen, it's just a day in the life of a man living in the dark, one headlight. Big up to Dylan, the village makes the villain. I write raps while I watch myself on the ceiling. 4, 3, 2, 1, it's the countdown. I roll like a laser beam through the downtown. It's mind over matter, maintain the glow. Peace to metrics, LJ.
4, 3, 2, 1, what we fighting for? 3, 2, 1, I don't know what. 4, 3, 2, 1, what we fighting for? 3, 2, 1, I don't know what for. What for? What for? What for? What for? What for? What for?
Sound crazy.
It's actually 2009, hey.
I know.
But I guess he made it 2008. Fair enough.
It is. It's all good.
4, 3, 2, 1 Chaos Remix by the Sound Crate. That track is fresh.
I can't get enough.
Fresh.
I cannot get enough.
I just can't get enough.
I can't get enough of Sound Crate because they're here and they're going to do some stuff live. How sweet is that?
So enjoy the sunshine, Vancouver.
Make sure. Hey, guys, by the way, I have a 16-year-old sister.
Don't even.
Just throwing that out there.
Just. All right.
Check out hotmess.org. We will be back next week and bring you all the fresh, funky jives that we do.
Next week we have Liam from the Stills, Juno Award-winning band, the Stills, on our show. So
very cool.
Pretty
very
exciting. Cool. Always exciting on Hot Mess. Enjoy the sunshine. Here's Sound Crates.
Standing out like gorillas. Here's my story, how I beat the odds and dodged the system. How I came from nothing, turned my hustle into millions.
Yeah, I just don't care. I became a Snoop Dogg millionaire. Yeah, throw your money in the air. You become a Snoop Dogg millionaire. Yeah, I just don't care. I became a Snoop Dogg millionaire. I'm a Snoop Dogg millionaire. I'm a Snoop Dogg millionaire.
A couple months pass, things is looking better. I got a record deal and obtained some cheddar. I wrote the first chronic, then I put the pound together. And then my album dropped, sold millions of records. I'm almost there, cuz I done changed the game forever. I got the whole world mixing gin and juice together. A trendsetter, Lolos and blue Carreras. The top dog, and no one can do it better.
Yeah, just don't care. I became a Snoop Dogg millionaire. Yeah, throw your money in the air. You become a Snoop Dogg millionaire. Yeah, just don't care. I became a Snoop Dogg millionaire.
Have any black inside you? Would you like some? Like some? You know you got a right to do whatever you like to. Don't see we got the right one. That right one in the club. Always the flyest. Always got her hands the highest. She stopped drinking Diet Coke. She on that Coke diet. She bat her eyelids. That girl is so wired. I know she's so tired. But ooh, she on fire. $100 bill. Look at you, look at you. $100 bills. This ain't new, this ain't new. From that Paris, Lindsay, Brittany, Mary Kate and Whitney. People say that they clean, motherfucker, don't bullshit me.
All the girls standing.
You left your nigga home. You said you at your sister's. You and your girlfriend's wrong. You in here taking pictures. You ain't gotta tell us. You spending daddy's cash. Your girlfriend's jealous. You got the fattest ass. One down to pee. One trying to leave. It's hot as fuck, but you just gonna ski. It's clear as black and white, like a fat panda. Your brain is Magic City, your nose is Atlanta.
I said then.
Future, you can't do that tomorrow, but you don't hear a word. You see the era. You like, hey, Pharrell, I ain't trying to get you, boo. I can do the Star Trek sign. See, killer dude.
All the girls standing in the line through the
Now she got high hopes just to say hi to us. She want the high life, she like them higher ups. She know we high rolling, she know it's high stakes. That's why she high speeding out on that highway. She say she high maintenance, she say she high fashion. She say she high priced, I think she high capping. She had her high heels, I had my high tops. Sipping the high C, eating no high drops. I asked her how I feel up on this high rise. She said this high score, this was the highlight. She got her high pot, bumping her high tones. This higher education, welcome to high school.
All the girls standing in the line for the bathroom. All the girls standing in the line for the bathroom.
I can't imagine the turnabout she built inside.
Turn around and buy my habit before I came in. I done turned
strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. Yellow. My hair is long.